What problem does increasing the op return limit that's been in place since 2014 by 1,250 times solve?
Publicly, many of these folks are, overt shitcoiners.
It's extremely important that you run a node. You're not really a Bitcoiner unless you do. Bitcoin is not permissionless money unless you're using your own node to broadcast and verify transactions. I would recommend that you use Knots.
Even if it's budget neutral, which has been the talking point, it's still theft. Because the reason they have that budget is because they stole your money in the form of inflation or taxes.
So the United States issues the dollar. That's what has allowed them to rule the world, really through violence and coercion. And they are not going to give that up. They're not going to signal its demise by buying Bitcoin. That will never happen.
Hey everyone, Michael here with the Bitcoin Way podcast. Today on the show, I have Mr. Justin Beckler. You have probably seen him on X if you are following along with the Core versus Knots debate. He is very firmly pro-team Knots, and I think you're going to find this discussion fascinating. He breaks down some of the criticisms he has of the way that Core has approached introducing version 30 and why he thinks Bitcoin is money, and I couldn't agree more with that. I think you're going to enjoy this episode. Hey everyone, like I said in the intro, I've got Justin here with me. Justin, welcome to the Bitcoin Way podcast.
Thanks a lot, Michael. I appreciate it. I've been a big fan of you guys and what you've been saying, so it's a pleasure.
I appreciate that. I'm looking forward to this conversation. You, my friend, have been a lightning rod few months on Bitcoin Twitter, and understand you're getting a lot of hate, a lot of love and affection, good mix of the two. Why don't you, and this is for anyone listening, if you don't know Justin, it's because you've not been following along the Knots versus Core debate on Twitter, and many of you probably are familiar. Why don't you frame out for me your pro-Knots stance, why you feel that way, and then we'll step back here in a minute and kind of get into, like, what is the debate exactly that's taking place?
Okay, yeah, definitely. Yeah, with me, I love finding the bottom line on things that I can build. Find like the bedrock that I can build on to form my opinions. And something that's helped me to do that is to understand a couple of things that these two ideas I've kind of tested all arguments against, and I've found this to be my really bottom line. And that is two things. First of all, that Bitcoin is money, very, very simply. So there are not use cases for Bitcoin other than that Bitcoin is money. And if you were to take 1,000 people and help them to understand what Bitcoin is very basically, and you were to ask them what it is, they would say that it's money. So we know that's what it is. Bitcoin is money. You can get clever and try to say that it's other things, and some have done that. But at its most basic level, Bitcoin is money. So if you were to take 1 million people and have a poll, and you showed an image of a Porsche, and you asked them, is that Porsche an engine? Is it fuel? Or is it a car? 1 million of those intelligent, reasonable individuals would say that a Porsche is a car. And likewise, Bitcoin is money. So that's the first one. Bitcoin is money. And second of all, Bitcoin will be used as money. And so I'm not saying that it should be or it must be, but it will be. So I'm predicting that Bitcoin succeeds. And that's the only way it will succeed, is that Bitcoin is used as money. And some pretty smart people have agreed with that. Jeff Booth is one of those. He said that we really must use Bitcoin as money. And if you think about it, how can Bitcoin survive if a small group of people repurpose it before it ever achieves its purpose? So right from the white paper, right from the first release of Bitcoin software, Bitcoin was money. And it hasn't achieved that purpose yet, but it must, and it will. And nobody's more bullish on Bitcoin than I am. So I'm not here with any sort of doom and gloom message that CORE will destroy Bitcoin or anything like that. I don't know. Some have said that. I understand their perspective. I don't agree with it because I think that Bitcoin will survive. If I didn't think that, we wouldn't be talking now. I wouldn't be sitting here. So when you understand those two things, that Bitcoin is money and that it will be used as money, then the obvious conclusion in this argument that we're having is that Bitcoin Core is leading us on a path of failure, and that they will fail and they must be removed. So
if you could maybe frame the changes that Bitcoin Core is making with version 30 here coming out soon, and how it is different from, you know, like people are running knots, right? And we're seeing what seems to be a very, you know, large uptick in from what I can tell, organic uptick in folks who are running a node and choosing to run knots. The distinction between what CORE is moving forward with and what knots is going to continue doing.
Yeah. So earlier this year, there was much discussion about taking the 80-bit op return limit and increasing that. In 2013 or 14, there was a 40-byte op return limit, and that doubled to 80 bytes. It's been the same ever since then. And kind of what the purpose of that is, you could think of it like, if you can remember physical checks, we don't use those much anymore, but there's a memo line. So you could write information that's important to that monetary transaction. So in the same way, the op return was a way to limit or append some arbitrary data to monetary transactions. So when you're using Bitcoin as money, purpose of that was, again, to include a small bit of arbitrary data to the monetary transaction. In 2017, SegWit was activated, which really gave a foundation for L2s, Lightning. In 2021, Taproot was activated. And in 2023, early 2023, the Ordinals people figured out a way to exploit that. And so in February 2023, that bug began to be exploited. And so what we have now in 2025 is that CORE is in version 30 going to take that 80-bit op return limit and increase that 1,250 times to 100,000 bytes. So from a very small piece of arbitrary data to a large one, which opens up, first of all, a massive attack vector, because previously you just couldn't append much data to the transaction. And now, of course, with 100 kilobytes, you could include classified information, abhorrent material, illegal material. And so really what's happening, I believe, and many others do as well, is that this is an attack on nodes. And so that's basically the problem with version 30. That's a simplified way of putting it. But, you know, I've asked every single day for the last 10 days if anyone can answer the question, what problem does increasing the op return limit that's been in place since 2014 by 1,250 times solve? Secondary to that, my question is, as a node runner, how am I incentivized in any way to relay non-monetary arbitrary data? What is my incentive for doing that? And I've asked those two questions and no one has answered yet. So
I'm trying. So I told you offline, I'm in the interest of intellectual honesty and being able to converse in good faith on this topic, I'm trying, and it's very slow. I've got three small kids at home, so I don't get a whole lot of time to just sit and read silently, but to dig in and to understand some of these. And so one of the things that I couldn't possibly begin to steel man the core argument. And I think maybe one of the complaints you and I have in common with the pro-core side is publicly, many of these folks are, overt shitcoiners. And I have a really hard time separating those folks from people who I think might have some sort of a meaningful technical discussion that they could have with the pro-Nazi camp. And we could, just have a real debate, a real discussion about it. And so that for me is hard. I don't want to be on that side. From what I can gather, though, the maybe part of the steel man of the pro core is that if people want to do things, they're going to find new ways to do things, new ways to exploit the code, kind of like the Ordinals guys did. The solution from what I can gather is that we should have patched the bug and not tried to work around it and make this hard. Like, we're playing whack-a-mole instead of just sealing off the hole.
Yeah.
And but we have, it exists as it exists, and that's the reality. And that the concern is, are we going to have more of these private channel distribution of transactions straight to miners instead of, leveraging the Bitcoin network, the network of nodes? And that's something that they think, pushing people toward op return might help mitigate against.
And that's part of my disillusionment with really where Bitcoin has gotten is there's this whole moral relativism that we're not allowed to stand up and say that is outrageously absurd.
Mm-hmm.
I heard some people say it's like if you were in Central Park and you put a trash can to help litterers to put their litter in the trash can instead of on the walkway, when in fact you can just outlaw littering and force it out of the park. That's the most absurd thing I've ever heard. And to me, it's kind of like, why in the world imagine that you and I go on vacation. We take our wives along. So there's two of us and we get an Airbnb and there's a pantry with limited space and we intend to stay there for a while and use the kitchen to cook. But there's a limited pantry, only so much room. And we have different tastes, and so we're all bringing in what we want, putting stuff in the pantry. Well, it quickly fills up, and so the simple solution to that is to start putting stuff on the kitchen table. Well, if we did that, eventually that would fill up as well, and it would be unusable. So why in the world would you still make a way for spamming the network? If I came to your house and there was a deadbolt on your house and I looked around and on the first floor there's windows all around, and I argued that you should remove the deadbolt because a determined attacker could still get in a window, that makes absolutely no sense at all. And so it comes back to the same question: why in the world would we increase that op return limit that's been effective? In the month of August, it was effective. 99.93% of transactions respected that op return limit. Why would we increase that? And the basic answer that Core gives, at least some have been honest enough to admit it, is that some of the Ethereum smart contracts and other technology that Ethereum uses, companies using zero knowledge proofs and that sort of thing, needed to be increased. Now, they only needed to be increased up to like 144. But what the core people finally admitted, and if you looked in the Bitcoin dev mailing list, you'll see that they admitted it publicly, is that we've taken such a reputational hit from this that we might as well just blow it out so that we never have to revisit it again. So listen, Bitcoin is money. This does not improve Bitcoin as money in any way whatsoever.
So Justin, I guess is your view that the real solution, well, I think the ultimate real solution that that one could propose, but is untenable, you know, politically, I guess, so to speak, would be like a hard fork. I don't think anyone's going to go for that. It's not going to happen. Nope. Like, let's forget about that. But then the next best solution would be patch the bugs that allow ordinals, and you might still be playing whack-a-mole, but that's sort of software. In my view, it's like you find out that one thing might have led to another, and you continue to work through it until it's hardened, and you can sort of ossify where spammers aren't allowed to spam the network. But again, Core is going the opposite direction of that. Is your defense of knots sort of more philosophical at this point, where you're like, yes, I cannot stop spam from being on, like, sitting on my node. Like, if it's mined in the block, it's going to be in the blockchain. It's going to sit on my node. But I'm going to say, I don't want to relay that. And so that's, you know, sort of where we stand today. It's more of a philosophical objection, and hopefully perhaps a signal to Core that maybe you should try to achieve something more akin to consensus amongst the plebs moving forward.
Yeah, you know, I deeply resent that whole argument from the Core side that we're powerless against their decisions and what terrible solutions they propose. Well, if you don't like it, don't run our software. Don't upgrade, or just run knots. And I would argue that we've been the boiling frog for a long time, and Core has put us in that position. So it's been a series of compromises, especially if you run a node. And that's what they're asking us again. You know what? If you don't like it, just don't upgrade. Well, we should be able to upgrade the main implementation, the main node software. We would like to run the latest versions. So that's not a solution at all. And so... The reason I like knots is that it's configurable. The defaults are what I want as a monetary maximalist who uses Bitcoin as money, which I think is the only way to use it. So are we powerless? Absolutely not. Core will fail, not those who use Bitcoin as money. So we're going to have to use Bitcoin as money. And there's no doubt about that. That is the ultimate solution. Is that Bitcoin is used as money, and that there's no economic incentive whatsoever to shitcoin or spam Bitcoin. And make no mistake, it is an absolute overt attack on Bitcoin, what they're doing. So use Bitcoin as money. I would encourage anyone to run a node. And again, if you want to look at both sides of this, look at the message that both sides have portrayed. And I would say the one from knots, it's been clear that it's extremely important that you run a node. You're not really a Bitcoiner unless you do. So Bitcoin is not permissionless money unless you're using your own node to broadcast and verify transactions. I would recommend that you use knots. If you want to use Core, I would recommend you do not upgrade to the latest versions of Core, because in no way are they compatible with Bitcoin as money. And also, I would say that what is extremely important and a huge problem is centralized mining. And as our net worth in Bitcoin increases, I think that more of us should think about budgeting a small amount of money that we can provide a drip of decentralization to mining. Imagine if enough of us were willing to, say, lose $100 a month mining Bitcoin. If enough of us did that, and we were mining in a decentralized fashion, and to really do that, I think what's important is what Ocean has done and with their datum technology, which really puts the power of building the blocks back in the hands of the plebs like us. And we've seen that recently. So are we powerless? Well, we just saw someone with 10 terahash of mining power who mined a completely spam-free block. So I think each of us should consider doing that, and home mining, lottery mining, decentralizing mining, and taking the power back away from really centralized actors. which has become more and more of a concern. So I believe in the end that the plebs like us are going to act. And that's been evident in a really parabolic adoption of Bitcoin knots here recently, which has just gone off the charts. Yeah. So extremely encouraging to see that happen.
Yeah, I agree with that. So one of the things we do at the Bitcoin Way is if you want to buy a BitAx or something like that, we'll help you get it set up. There, you know, it's not hard, but there are a lot of people who just, you know, they're not technical and they want to participate and do something. I agree with you though. And like, not to pat myself on the back personally, but like, there are decisions I've made over the last few years of being a Bitcoiner that are, from a fiat perspective, financially imprudent. You know, like the example I've used on the show before, we canceled health insurance and I use CrowdHealth. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them.
Yep.
Which for me is it's a net neutral, but I've got young kids and they're getting ear infections and strep throat and that sort of thing all the time. And we never meet that $500 threshold per health.
Yeah.
So I'm always paying out of pocket for that stuff. And in my view, even though I'm probably coming out a few hundred dollars a year worse off, it's worth it for me to know that I'm defunding like an apparatus in a system that I absolutely loathe in the health insurance complex, and supporting a community of people who are much more like-minded generally. And I think the same thing is probably true with Bitcoin mining. I've got my BitAx running and it's probably not ever going to find a block. I've got a hosted miner pointed to Ocean. And, it's just barely not breaking even, I think, at this point. It was bought a few years ago. It's an S19. And, okay. I mean, to me, it's like, if I can just apply to, I think you're on to, you, what you hit on with Jeff Booth is if the network stays decentralized and secure, everything that you talk about, your optimism, it happens. We win, period. And anything we can do, I don't think people losing money on Bitcoin mining long-term is the solution, but right now we're at a stage of Bitcoin's adoption. And I think whether you consider the core upgrades an attack or not, we're at a point of contention, certainly, that to the extent people can be applying hash rate, running a node, doing it right, you know, voicing your concern about the direction that core is headed, I think that's an invaluable thing. So I couldn't agree more. I don't know if I just talked a lot, but I don't know if you have anything you wanted to add to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the message is empowering that you can fight back and you're not powerless. They want you to think that you are, but you're really not. And it's been difficult. Again, I kind of compared it to moral relativism, where it's almost like we're laughed at and we're not allowed to say that there's good or bad. You know, a lot of the Bitcoin tropes that we've heard, that everything is good for Bitcoin and that Bitcoin has already won, I think are very, very dangerous. And almost always those are used to excuse bad behavior. And it's so disappointing to see terms like censorship resistance and permissionless be really bastardized by these people and completely twisted and taken out of context. The real censorship resistance is that no one can stop you from broadcasting your transaction. In no way is my mempool policy of not relaying non-monetary arbitrary data censoring anyone. It's no more censoring than if you wrote a book and you found out that I chose not to include that book in my library and you accused me of censoring you. That's not censorship. So I
want to find, you tweeted something the other day. I think this would be a fun thing to talk about. And just for anyone listening, Justin messaged me. We had talked about maybe recording a podcast months ago. He messaged me like 2 or 3 hours ago. So this is totally impromptu. Didn't have time to write up questions like I usually would. Justin, do you know when you tweeted that sort of like, here are some of the things I hear from the core side and here's my rebuttal tweet by chance?
That's been seems like about a month ago.
Oh, no, it wasn't that long. I bet you, I thought it was like a week or something like that.
It could have been. Yeah. Time seems kind of strange right now.
Yeah.
I've been traveling a lot. And
No, you're good. I'm gonna try finding it. Let's move on to another topic. While you're talking, I'm gonna try find it because I think I might have sent it to someone. So I agree with you. What came to mind was one of the points you mentioned was if you're running knots, you're pro censorship, and I think your point is valid. It's if you choose not to include someone's book in your library, that's not censorship. And the point you made, I think, was I don't care if you want to fund Al Qaeda, like that, then send your money to Al Qaeda. I don't want to be the one relaying transactions that are by design contrary to the intent of the network, which is as money. If you want to expand upon that.
Yes, Bitcoin is money. So I couldn't care less how you use your money. No one is talking, and that's been drug into this as well as more really deceit, very purposeful, clever deceit that I've heard, that lots of shrieks of censorship and telling people how to use their money. No one is talking about that. We're encouraging the use of Bitcoin. Of course, we don't like funding Al Qaeda or anything like that. No one likes that. But no one is telling you how to use your money. But my node is mine. And so how can it possibly be censorship what I decide to do with it? And what I decide to do with it is not to relay non-monetary arbitrary data. And I think everyone else should do the same thing. So again, what a disappointment really and disillusioning to see people like Lynn Alden, who I have a lot of respect for, extremely smart, and Broken Money is one of my favorite books, sort of nebulous to Bitcoin, to say that saying that Bitcoin is money is perfectionism. And another term that I've heard a lot lately is Bitcoin Puritans. Well, if saying that Bitcoin is money, peer-to-peer electronic cash, is Puritanism, then I guess guilty as charged. Because that's how I feel. And I'm not going to apologize to any of these people, and I don't think any of us should. You've mentioned some names, and I've asked that recently. You know, how in the world does someone like Jameson Lopp still have so much influence in Bitcoin? And it's really interesting. You know, people are doing investigations right now and looking at the evidence. And when you follow the money, it's interesting, some of the people who keep popping up. And I think probably a book will be written about that. And the further you look into it, really lots and lots of misconduct and lots of dragging things into Bitcoin that we don't want. And so I hope a lot more people will sit up and take notice. When I found that when I compare things for myself, it's just my opinion, their arguments that they use quickly fall apart when you compare it to really, I think, those two laws, that Bitcoin is money and Bitcoin will be used as money. It will succeed as money, only as money. And so all of the narratives that they've used, and by that I mean Core and those who support what they're doing in version 30, it falls apart. And so, listen, I don't think that, Luke Dash Jr. said that Bitcoin 30 could be the end. And again, he was attacked for saying that because a lot of people say, well, one version of this software can't, if you think that can bring Bitcoin down, then you don't really understand. But I think you need to look at it with a longer perspective, that if this is allowed in Core 30, which we don't understand why, we haven't been given an answer why, then what happens in 31 and what happens further down the road? So I think it's more like we're being led down a path of a thousand, you know, death by a thousand cuts. And where we are in that path, I'm not quite sure, but we're on that path and we're being drugged further and further away from Bitcoin as money. And I think it's extremely important that nodes be protected and incentivized instead of really a tax on nodes, which is what Core 30 is.
Yeah. So I'll probably overwrite, you know, multiple times in just this conversation, sort of why I've tended toward knots. And so I said part of it is, you know, the scammers and the people who I recognize as people I don't associate with in, you know, in Bitcoin. And I'll say more broadly in crypto, because that's kind of what many of them seem to be. I'm still trying to wrap my head around like how these changes, because now I'm aware of like the core development mailing list, and that, you know, these conversations, it's easy to assume that Bitcoin Twitter is like the place, that's where all the conversation is happening. And so I'm trying to resist that assumption, but it to a large degree is what, you know, where a lot of the, you know, the dialogue takes place. And for better or for worse, this conversation certainly spilled into, you know, X. I'm trying to figure out like, to what extent do they have a duty as developers? Cause like, I haven't been around that long. I don't know how changes were made. I don't really like fully appreciate the mechanics by which changes were made a decade ago. As someone who's only been in for 3 years, it feels like though there is some obligation, or there ought to be some obligation by the maintainers of the reference implementation, Bitcoin Core, to look at what is being said and circulated in the conversation, dialogue, bickering, bantering, whatever, in a place like Twitter, because it's one of the few places where that dialogue is happening in the public arena. I am sure at meetups and at conferences and private conversations, there is more dialogue that extends maybe even beyond, by an order of magnitude beyond what we see on Twitter. But we can't in any way corral that and make use of what the sentiment is. If we look at Twitter, the sentiment is, it best case, very split. And at worst case for Core, very heavily leaning knots. And certainly the increase in folks running knots is an indication of that.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know if I have an answer for like, how should they go about considering this sort of change if it's done in good faith to begin with? I don't know if you have like a thought on how.
The messaging has been absolutely abysmally bad from Core. And what an out of touch, disconnected organization, shall we say. Really, what an embarrassment to Bitcoin that's been. And no, it's not split at all. It's not 50-50 at all. And how you can tell that is go to the release announcements from Bitcoin Core for 29, 29.1, and 30. And I guarantee you, if there are 1,000 comments, 999 of them, 990 are absolutely 100% against the release of that software. So if you want to see real sentiment, I would suggest going and finding those three tweets recently from Core about 29, 29.1, and 30. And what I've seen over and over and over again throughout this whole thing is that when individuals come to this argument, they kind of do what I've done and maybe what you've done, is that we see who's involved on both sides and we listen to their message. And we gravitate toward one or the other because they seem to be sincere and telling the truth. And what I've seen overwhelmingly is that when reasonable people come to this debate and they listen to it, then they start asking questions that don't get answered from Core. And they don't, you know, we don't understand why this is happening. And we'd like some answers. And the answers have been really, really bad. And that's why you see ratios over and over again on Twitter. So, you know, it kind of spilled onto Twitter because the other discussion forums, shall we say, have been so heavily censored, which is really the irony as well, that we've been accused of censorship because we want our nodes to, we've set our mempool policy as we see fit, and that's called censorship. By people who've really censored this discussion. Fortunately, on Twitter, they can't. So, you know, the sentiment is not split. It's heavily favored toward sovereign use of nodes and Bitcoin as money. That's what the plebs want.
Yeah, that's my sense as well. And you know, again, like I told you, like I'm trying to really, I want to be intellectually honest and dig in and figure this out. I think the, what's been sad for me to see is, so like we're a Bitcoin company. The podcast is a marketing channel for us and a way for, to educate people in that. But we don't have, I don't have any sponsors. Like if you're listening to this, you're not going to hear an ad read. You might get interrupted by YouTube or something like that, but that's not my fault, or I don't intend for that to happen. That gives me a lot of latitude to just say what I think. And my sense is there are a lot of people who would, and also, you know, like I'm sort of on the outside of like I'm not like one of the Bitcoin influencers, right? Like I'm just a guy who, you know, tripped into Bitcoin a few years ago and is fortunate to get to work for a great company, but I don't have any allegiance. Like if I piss a bunch of people off, you know, that's, you know, my life will go on. There are some people who, you know, my sense is they'll get uninvited from parties.
Absolutely.
You know, and so it's hard for us to know like where people really stand, what they sympathize with, because there are so many conflicting interests. And I'm not taking a shot at it. Like we sponsor podcasts, great people. We love them. It's awesome. So it's not that any one particular influencer or, you know, podcast host or something is being disingenuous. It's just, I think they're put in a tough position just by virtue of, you know, of where they are. And, and so my guess is there's a lot of sentiment that we don't get to hear, just because of this dynamic that kind of goes on in the background.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And, also there's a lot of money, trading hands. So, a lot of money, and that's been documented. So I think you're right. And, you know, unfortunately there's a good old boy network in Bitcoin. And those people go to these flashy parties and that we're not invited to. And there's a lot of money involved. And so the funding and the VCs. So we're talking about Brink. We're talking about Human Rights Foundation. Talking about Spiral, OpenSats. A lot of these people who are sort of sacrosanct in Bitcoin that we're not allowed to really even talk about or criticize. I don't know why not. I'm the same as you. I have no loyalty or allegiance to any individuals. I don't think I've met anybody involved in this or had private conversations. I don't work for anybody. You know, I'm self-taught on all of this stuff, and kind of what has happened with me is, for lack of a better term, I went down the rabbit hole, and the more I see, the more I'm troubled by that. And I think it's really dangerous. And, you know, for me, it's kind of been like how we all feel when we get Bitcoin and we share it with someone who we think it'll be an easy orange fill because they should get it because of their background and intelligence, and they just don't. And that's how I think a lot of us have felt who are trying to talk about the importance of this. And really this trend that's happening is that it's dangerous. And so I don't understand why more people don't understand that, but they don't. And all we can do is keep asking questions. And I think really simple questions that need answers. And what happens in Bitcoin Core 30? I think is very, very dangerous. And I think it's a huge tax on nodes, which is the foundation of the network. And as bad as this is, I just can't even begin to think when we give the green light to this and we give a weak response to it and really don't fight it, what's going to happen in 31.
I think maybe that's the biggest point, because I'm unconvinced that Knots versus Core 30 is like the biggest threat to Bitcoin. Do I think it could be impactful, consequential? Yes, I'm open-minded to anything because, again, I'm wrapping my head around this. I think that maybe more importantly, it's the precedent that we set for how easy it is for maintainers of any implementation, by the way, but Core specifically as the reference implementation, to make changes somewhat unilaterally, you know. And again, like maybe I'm missing something here, and they've, you know, they got solid buy-in from some of the people that they felt they needed to. But to me, it seems like the what we're talking about, this push on X against it and the increase in people spinning up Knots nodes. Like we have a lot of clients who, you know, we help them, you know, get onto Core 29 or whatever in the last year. And they're coming back to us and they're saying, hey, can you help me switch over to Knots, you know, like voluntarily. And, you know, maybe they're just in an echo chamber and they just think that that's the thing that they're supposed to do. But I think many are probably educated and paying attention and, you know, they're at least seeing, you know, one side is I don't really align with these guys. These guys seem to just generally make a lot more sense. I can get on board philosophically with them. And so I'm going to run Knots, you know, just kind of cast my vote. Not that the implementation you run is a vote. I understand this. Bitcoin is not a democracy, but to have a voice to say, here's what I choose to do with that. Justin, you can comment on that. I did find that tweet though, this thread okay. You shared. And so we already talked about you're telling people how to use their money, censorship. You said that filters don't work. Well, you did kind of comment on that. You said then why do 99% of transactions occur within the op return limit? And if they don't work, why remove them? So this is, I think, the big one for me. Bitcoin will be fine with a 1,250x increase in op return. And you said Bitcoin is fine without it.
That's right.
I think that because like our company, like for us, Bitcoin is already money. We operate on a Bitcoin standard. I get paid in Bitcoin. We spend in Bitcoin. We only accept Bitcoin as payment. It works. And I think the fact that like my experience working with a company that quite literally operates on a Bitcoin standard is about all the justification I need to be something pretty close to an ossification maximalist.
Mm-hmm.
It is working. And if that begins to change and we begin to see more private channels and fewer transactions making their way through the network via nodes, and raising the op return limit becomes the solution to a truly dire problem, to me, then it seems like a very easy and relatively trivial change to make. So maybe we cross that bridge when we get there. I don't know. That's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah. As you can see from that thread, I believe that all of the major arguments from that side very quickly fall apart. And again, we're asking very simple questions. How does it benefit Bitcoin as money? And what problem does it solve? If there's no consensus for it, why is this being shoved through and debate on it is squelched? And I think it's pretty clear that the answer is that shitcoiners are very, very excited about how much money they're going to make by bringing Ethereum-style smart contracts and other technology onto Bitcoin. And so prepare for that. They've got a lot of interesting new ideas for your money and exciting features that you never asked for. And so be prepared for that because we just enabled them. So guys like Jameson Lopp, Citria, Starkware, Stain Code Labs, these people who are going to make a lot of money. They've already raised a lot of money. And so they have exciting new features that they have in mind for Bitcoin and your money. And we've just enabled them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So very disappointing.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with that. I think that's been my biggest hang up on this whole thing is just seeing, and I haven't investigated deeply, but I've talked to a handful of people about it who seem to have investigated pretty thoroughly, that there seem to be external incentives at play. And it's not clear to me how you could maintain objectivity. Like, I think there are a lot of people probably on the core side in particular. And I'm guessing there are people who could make the same case for like Luke with Ocean and stuff, but certainly on the core side, where you should probably recuse yourself from the debate to some degree and say, hey, here's what I think, full disclosure, you know, I've got this side project or an association with a company or what have you. And I'm hearing a lot of either denials or silence on those sorts of topics. And, and again, like, I don't know. I don't know what happens in these back rooms or how close the connection is between any one person and a company that they don't, that they're not, you know, gainfully employed by. But it seems like that we're owed answers as people who are trying to sift through this mess.
Yeah. And again, you know, Bitcoin Core is made up of about, there's been 1,000 contributors. Yeah, you can absolutely bet your bottom dollar that not all of those people like what's happening. And so it'll be really interesting to see if there's some documentation of whistleblowers who come forward. Already we know that some developers have come over and are working on Bitcoin knots. So it's would be very difficult to paint with such a broad brush of Core. We use that term as very loosely as all those who kind of support that, who support the changes in Core 30. But deep down, I think that a lot of these people that I've seen, and I could mention names, but instead of being malicious, I think more than anything, they're probably young and naive. From what I've seen, they're embarrassingly economically illiterate. They do not understand Bitcoin as money. They're technocrats. They'll never be satisfied with technology. They think that better technology is the answer, and Bitcoin is completely different. Better technology is not the answer for Bitcoin. Layer one should be the settlement layer, and these people will never stop tinkering with Bitcoin. They don't understand it. They don't understand Bitcoin as money. And so I think it's such a shame that they're in a position to push through changes for companies that they work for and that they're paid for. So again, you know, I just have to ask, how in the world at this point do people like Peter Todd, you know, who's called for the mass murder of Russians, so obviously has some very deep personality problems. But aside from that, just as it pertains to Bitcoin, has admitted publicly that he owns no Bitcoin. So what an avenue for capture and vulnerability some of these people are. So has no skin in the game, really seems to have some level of contempt for Bitcoin. Would like to introduce inflation to Bitcoin. 21 million is not enough. We should raise that. How in the world does this guy have so much influence? How does Jameson Lopp have so much influence in Bitcoin? And so I think, you know, that more of us need to stand up and be proud of the way we feel. And that if you want to call me a Bitcoin Puritan, then please do, because I agree with that. I think Bitcoin is money and that it will be used as money. And so I deeply resent these shitcoiners who've attached themselves to Bitcoin and who turn their nose up at us and talk down to us. They'll fail. Bitcoin will win. And I believe that Bitcoin is our only shot. So don't tell me that these people are improving Bitcoin. They're not. So I believe that Bitcoin will win. So then you might say, well, then what's the big deal? Just let the market play itself out. But the problem that these people... they're really they're delaying the inevitability of Bitcoin as money, and fix the money, fix the world. They're delaying that for so many people, and they're confusing and distracting so many people from that, and really they're slowing down the process. So I resent that, and I think more and more of us should stand up and not be talked to down to by these people, but keep preaching that Bitcoin is money. We should use it that way. And that our nodes are sovereign. We're not capable of even censoring anyone's monetary transactions. We encourage that. And so run a node, whether that be Core or knots. I personally think it's a shame that we have to have knots, but another implementation doesn't hurt. If you're running, say, Bitcoin Core 25 or earlier, you may want to just stay on that. But please do not run Bitcoin Core 30 unless you can answer that question for yourself. What problem does it solve? And as I said in that thread, they scoff and say Bitcoin will be fine with an op return of 100 kilobytes. Bitcoin is fine now. So please stop changing it and leave it alone instead. Let's stop the spam and stop relaying non-monetary arbitrary data. We can do that. So again, I think our message is empowering and positive that Bitcoin is going to win. And better tech is not the answer. These people don't need to fix Bitcoin, and they're not going to. So I oppose it, man. That's how I feel.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair position to take, and one that I can obviously sympathize with. You know, I think what's important for people to remember is most people come into Bitcoin and it's sort of like they're investigating crypto and they're trying to wrap their head around, how do I make money in this? And then for anyone who's been in Bitcoin for any period of time, it's usually because they've determined, oh, Bitcoin is money, and it's going to be the money that is ubiquitous in the future that everyone uses. And my sense is you go one of two paths with that. One is, this is awesome. We've been gifted this thing, and let's not mess it up. Like, let's make sure. And then the other path is, okay, but it doesn't do everything. And so how can we make meaningful changes to ensure that it does everything? And the reality to the everything side is that there are no solutions, there are only trade-offs. And one of the common complaints I hear is, well, not everyone can own a UTXO. Lightning can scale to the whole world, but it'll be custodial, there'll be banks. And my take on that is, all we do all day long is self-custody at the Bitcoin way. I want to get as many people into self-custody as possible. But, and there's a big but, if some people have to use a bank or a third party in the future, or have some what I would consider inferior custodial arrangement for Bitcoin to achieve mass adoption and us to maintain a 21 million hard cap decentralized secure network, then so be it. The goal from my view is to separate money and state and central banking. And even if you might have to rely on a counterparty 10 years from now, which you don't have to do today, by the way, for anyone listening, so be it. I don't like it. It's not my preference, but that might just be beyond my control. And in the meantime, I'm going to fight to keep Bitcoin as money the way that I think Satoshi designed it to be.
Yeah.
So that's the whole reason I came here, that's the whole reason I stuck around. I came for fiat profit, and I stuck around for the Bitcoin money revolution.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's good enough.
Yeah, I agree, and I don't think that repurposing Bitcoin right now before it achieves its original purpose makes any sense whatsoever. And if it's going to be repurposed, how can it be repurposed by a small group of economically illiterate people? I totally agree with you, and that's what I preach as well. Is Bitcoin in cold storage and locked up, and the only number that matters to me is that the sats I control in cold storage increases every single day. So I'm excited about the future. In no way do I think that this debate is bad for Bitcoin. I think it's good for it, and I'm extremely bullish on the price of Bitcoin, that it's only going to go up. That's really programmed mathematically. And what we're seeing going on in the world right now, economically, I think is clear evidence of that. And more and more money is going to flow to Bitcoin. So I'm preparing for that. And I think it's, at least right now, Bitcoin always feels expensive, but when you zoom out long enough on any time frame, it becomes really inexpensive. So, yeah, I just would encourage everybody to do what you guys are doing. And, man, really applaud what you guys have done and really the courage you've shown, because I'm sure it hasn't been easy to come out and ask the questions you guys have asked. But probably in a lot of ways doesn't help business, but applaud the courage you guys have shown. Big fan of you guys.
I appreciate that, Justin. Thank you. Yep. Is there anything we haven't touched on that you wanted to hit or think that's...
Well, yeah, I would say the only other thing I just happen to have with me is if I'm holding the book where you can see it.
Yep.
Yeah, Larry Lepard's The Big Print. I'm a big fan of that. Look forward to meeting Larry one day and getting this one signed. But I think this is a really important book because I'm a big fan of Lynn Alden's Broken Money. I really like Ray Dalio. The problem with Ray Dalio is that's not light reading. That's more like studying. And then even the Bitcoin Standard, which is still my all-time favorite and was a turning point for me. I feel like this book is really kind of all three of those combined. And it shows what has happened, what's happening now, and really what will happen in the future. And I believe that Larry is spot on with that. And so what happened to America and how sound money will fix it. This book is so good because it takes all of those other three, shall we say, and boils it down. And this is much easier to read, and there's many chapters and they're pretty short. So if anybody doesn't have this book in their Bitcoin library, I would highly recommend it because I think it's really good for orange pilling. And if you've been using any of those others, which I have in the past, but they're not necessarily light reading. So if you give it to a friend, don't be surprised if they don't read it. But I think this one grabbed you right from the start. And I think it can do a lot of good to help people who don't understand the basic problem of inflation and what they've done to our money since 1913 and Federal Reserve policy and all that. It's when people wake up and see it. It's an eye opener and how Bitcoin fixes that. So what I'm hoping for the book is a lot of the gold people will read it and allocate some more investment, if you want to call it that, to Bitcoin, and then become fully orange pilled to Bitcoin is the closest thing we're going to have to perfect money. So again, there's a debate raging right now, but have complete faith in Bitcoin. If you're only an investor, I think that this debate, again, I think it's good and healthy for Bitcoin, and Bitcoin is going to win and the price is only going to go up. So only positive message from me on that.
Yeah, good. And hey, great book recommendation. Love Larry. Love that book. I've given it to a couple of people already. I almost forgot with having no notes on this call. The question I save for the end is always, tell me an unpopular opinion that you have. You get bonus points if you offend some Bitcoiners with it. The caveat for you is it can't be Knots versus Core. You gotta think of something else that'll piss off some Bitcoiners.
Oh, well, that's easy for me because, secondary to this, I was the one who, railing right from the very start, against the strategic Bitcoin reserve. So, I believed that a strategic Bitcoin reserve, however you want to define that. I think the only one that matters is your own. But I think it makes perfect sense for every entity in the world, every individual and entity in the world, including governments, except for the issuer of the global reserve currency. So the United States issues the dollar. That's what has allowed them to rule the world, really through violence and coercion. And they are not going to give that up. Yeah, they're not going to signal its demise by buying Bitcoin. That will never happen. So the recent legislation from Cynthia Lummis and really Washington crypto lobby is completely ludicrous. It was a massive distraction to the Bitcoin community, and a lot of people fell for it, and that was very disappointing. But that will never happen. There's zero support for that in Congress, and I think we're seeing that now. So I think we saw a lot of the individuals who were involved in that at the Bitcoin conference and really what I would call the David Bailey industrial complex. And we're pushing that and promoting that for their own benefit. But that's a fallacy. It was never going to happen. And again, Bitcoin and cold storage, so don't fall victim to any of the pump and dump scams. And think the Department of Justice and the SEC are going to be very interested. Maybe not during this administration, because maybe immunity has been granted to some of these individuals. But maybe a future administration, some of the billions of dollars that have been lost, just some of these treasury companies already, it's been extracted through securities fraud. And I haven't named names on that, but you know, you can look at ones that are going to zero right now. And I think some people are going to go to prison. And if they're guilty of those things, I hope they do. So if that's not unpopular enough for you, I don't know what would be. But
It'll be unpopular with some people. Most of it's not unpopular with me. And I don't speculate on securities fraud, but I certainly could not agree with you anymore on the strategic Bitcoin reserve. The only way they can accumulate Bitcoin, even if it's budget neutral, which has been the talking point, it's still theft. Because the reason they have that budget is because they stole your money in the form of inflation or taxes, period.
Yep.
I don't care if the U.S. government has Bitcoin. I want Bitcoin for myself, for my family, for you, for every individual out there. And the good thing is government is woefully inefficient and slow and in aggregate, dumb. And that's to the benefit of us plebs and new Bitcoiners who will be, you know, popping up here over the next few years. So
that's right.
Hopefully they can get in before good old Uncle Sam.
Just keep buying Bitcoin, man. Yep. Right. 100% agree.
All righty, man. Well, hey, thank you for the time. Why don't you tell people where they can find you if they haven't already seen you? I can't imagine your follower count on X has to have skyrocketed the last 6 months.
No, I don't think it has, because a lot of people are put off by, hard opinions. So, anytime I come out with, anytime I post anything that is seen as toxic, then my follower account drops. So yeah, I'm on X. That's the only place. And I'm not looking for any attention or only reason I really came off of anonymous is I intend to probably write a book one day. But I'm on X as 1914 AD. And that's a whole other story. I'm kind of an autodidact historian. So, with World War I and a year before that, the enactment of Federal Reserve Act. Was a real turning point in history. So kind of how I came up with that. So that's where I am on X.
Awesome. Love it, man. Well, Justin, great speaking with you. Thank you for the time. Keep throwing the toxicity out there on X. Always fun to see your comments as well as the comments that people leave for you. But look forward to staying in touch and catching up soon.
Sounds good, Michael. I appreciate it.
Cheers.
Okay.
And that's a wrap again. Hope you enjoyed my conversation with Justin. I know I sure did. Go check out Justin online. Follow along on X. He is very deeply involved in this online debate, core versus knots, and gives some good, meaningful insight. And of course, if you could do me a huge favor, if you enjoyed this conversation, if you're liking the channel, like, subscribe, comment on this, share it with someone. Anything you can do to help feed the algorithm would be most appreciated. And of course, if you need help taking your Bitcoin into proper 100% self-custody, taking in your own strategic Bitcoin reserve, go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast. You can schedule a free 30-minute consult with a member of our team. We can talk you through how we can help. No KYC, no nonsense, no counterparty risk, no compromises whatsoever. We also help with online privacy, setting up privacy phones, Plan B residencies. We can help you spin up your solo miner. If you got a BitAx, do everything right. Again, it's thebitcoinway.com/podcast. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.